The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
Consider yourself a home dreamer? One who watches the renovation programs on television? Are you just waiting for the right time to build or renovate your dream home? Welcome to Winning the Dream Home Race with Steve Clipp Architect. Steve has spent 3 decades learning how to win at the dream home game. He has insights into the psychology of space that could strengthen your marriage and soothe your soul. He has an understanding of market forces and the methodologies of construction that could save you thousands of dollars, and he could make you a winner. Now, here's Steve Clipp.
Hi, people. Welcome back. Well, tonight I'm, or this morning actually, I'm not going to soothe your soul so much as talk about the horror story of the name is How to Blow $2.5 million. And it's really not blowing two and a half. It's okay. Blowing, 25% of that. So $600,000-$700,000. Many times before on this show, I've talked about the home as an investment. And for most people, it's their largest investment, which means it has to be approached cautiously and done smartly. It always amazes me, and I tend to work more in the higher end of the market, that there are actually people at the higher end of the market to whom it doesn't matter. If they lose 30% on their investment, say $800,000, so what? That's amazing. It's off subject, but it's akin to my belief of when you buy an exotic car. Say you buy an $80,000 Jaguar convertible. And when would you do that? It's when losing the money doesn't hurt you. And the pleasure that the car brings you is worth the cost. Well, that's somewhat like this situation, where the pleasure of the new house is worth the cost. And for some people, they're not that concerned about dropping a couple hundred thousand. But for the most part, when you buy that new Jaguar, you still try to negotiate a good deal with the seller. It's, it is still a business deal, and you don't want to overpay. That's what I'm alluding to. It's the same sort of thing. However, with the exotic car, you're paying a stiff premium to get something that is guaranteed exceptional. Nobody mistakes a Jaguar convertible for a Toyota Camry. It is guaranteed exceptional. And that's why you're paying the difference. Houses are different. If you make all of the wrong moves on the purchase or the construction of your house, you can pay the Jaguar price and you can get the Camry. And the really amazing thing is, like any investment, if you make a bad investment, the money is gone. Okay. So how do you achieve this stunning act of bad investing in your new home construction? Well, first, you buy wrong, meaning that you overpay for the lot, or you buy a bad lot. Second, and I've talked about this, you select a contractor at the start. Third, you allow the contractor to select the home designer. Fourth, you accept mediocrity in design. Fifth, going along with that, you don't maximize the potential of the lot. And sixth, and perhaps most important, you don't make the house a wow. Difference between a losing investment and a winning investment in a home is whether it's a wow. If it's a Jaguar, whatever the market, someone's going to pay you for it. If it's a Toyota Camry, whatever the market, they're going to pay you for that, and they're not the same thing. Okay. Just to illustrate, you know, what I'm talking about, I love to go look at houses. My hobby is actually looking at houses. And in the Chapel Hill, Durham, Raleigh area, I keep a loose track of several high-end neighborhoods. And, you know, I'm aware of what is selling, what's sold, and what hasn't sold. And, you know, and I try to figure out why it hasn't sold. A lot of times on Sundays, I go to open houses, and whenever I pass a house under construction, I go in and take a look at it. And, you know, so virtually, there are a few neighborhoods where virtually every house in those neighborhoods I get into while it's under construction and, you know, see what's happening and kind of critique it. So on one of my trips over to Raleigh, I saw a really nice house under construction, and it happened to be a home where I'd also gone to an open house on, you know, to the old home that was there before it was torn down. So it was I knew what it was, and now I can see what it's becoming. And this is the story of that house. And the couple who are right now spending, as I look at, they're spending at least $2.5 million to achieve a home that I believe has a market value, will have a market value of, in a good market, $1.8 million. And that's important, is to differentiate when you're talking about in a good market as opposed to right now isn't quite a good market. But in a good market, they're spending $2.5 million to achieve a house that's probably worth $1.8 million or 75 cents on the dollar. Okay. The first mistake that I listed in this was buying wrong. And by buying wrong, in this case, I'm talking about the lot. And the Raleigh market, this whole area, didn't drop as much as the rest of the country. And really, we only saw about a 15% depreciation in prices, a drop in prices. And pretty much the market has firmed up under that. And actually, in recent years, this year, we're actually seeing that the market is doing better. And we're very firm, the prices are firm, especially in the country club neighborhoods. However, even with that, $2 million houses are in a big supply and a little demand. This is what I talked about as an investment. Investments are supply and demand. So, if you're in that price range, as this couple are in that price range, you can get a great house at a relatively bargain price. And the first thing that I do, you know, whenever I talk to someone about building a new home, especially right now, the first thing I do is have them go out and see what's on the market and see what they can buy for the same money. This is a buyer's market at that end. Interestingly, in our market, the low end of the medium end of the market, up to about 500,000, has really solidified and is doing well. It's just the top end that still is soft, still too many houses, not enough buyers. But that means you can get a great deal. And right now I can think of two houses on the market that are really good houses on really good lots, and they're selling for about 70 cents on the dollar. $2 million for them is cheap. And just because of market, because the demand is low right now. Once the demand, the supply and demand sets up equal, these houses won't be that cheap. Okay, now, they're also not perfect. But if you can buy a house for hundreds of thousands of dollars less than replacement, then you can spend $100,000, $200,000 on tweaking them and getting them really near perfect. So that's the first thing, is you look at what else is on the market. Then, if you say, no, I want my special dream home, and I'm going to build it. That's fine. That is most people's dream, is to build their own home from scratch. The first step is finding a lot. And the most desired neighborhoods are these built-out country club neighborhoods, and that are really at the heart of town, and as this one is. Well, and what that means is that to build in that country club neighborhood on the golf course, you have to buy an existing house and tear it down. This has happened in this neighborhood several times over the past 8 years. And so there's a consistency to it. The cost of the tear-down home on the golf course front lot has consistently been between $600,000 and $800,000. Some of those lots, when you tore down the home, some of those lots have been stunning. I know of one where it was a point of land that sat between two fairways and looked down both fairways. A stunning lot. And $600,000 for that was an absolute bargain price. Okay. And some have been questionable. I know of another one where same price, $650,000, but this lot sat low and was behind the bunker. So yes, you were on the golf course. You had golf course frontage, but you really couldn't see anything. $650,000 was not a bargain price for that lot. In this case, well, we're actually going to a break now. So when I come back, I'll get back on subject. I'll get back talking about this particular house and, you know, what happened here. And please stick with me.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
When you look at something that's been designed, whether it's clothing, architecture, or a work of art, do you stop and wonder about the inspiration and thought process that went into the design? Tune in to Dishing the Dirt on Design with hosts Ann Asher and Eleanor Schrader Schappa. We'll take the mystery out of the creation process, along with revealing the backstory from art to fashion to travel and so much more. Listen to Dishing the Dirt on Design every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We are in the midst of a global sovereign debt crisis that could lead to the ultimate risk for the world economy, the removal of the U.S. dollar as the world's reserve currency. What will this event really mean to the markets? And more importantly, what does it mean for you and your family? Listen to Global Currency Watch with your host, Stephen Ayer, to get a full and objective look at the world's sovereign debt crisis and help you prepare for when the crisis envelops the United States. Global Currency Watch airs live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific on Voice America Business.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Clipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's clipark@yahoo.com. Now, back to winning the dream home race.
Okay, back on topic. This $2.5 million home. In this case, a house came on the market in this country club neighborhood that had, the house had very good street presence on the main road in the neighborhood. So it was a really nice lot, very good street presence. And the back on the golf course, though, was questionable, is questionable. The backyard is low, below the golf course, with kind of limited views, just to set up the distance from the golf course, the trees, which are not under their control. All of those meant limited views, and perhaps just as meaningful, this house wasn't on the golf course, but it was on the driving range. So, which meant if it's a driving range, you know, you can't really stroll out onto the golf course from your home. But it does have the thing that you don't have neighbors. And that's one of the nicest things about being on the golf course front lot is that you don't have a neighbor behind you. You've got a really nice lawn that somebody else takes care of. In this case, let's see. I looked at it, you know, and I told you I love going to open houses, and I thought this was a signature house, so of course I went to the open house. And what I found, the house itself on this lot was an awful mishmash. It had a, it was appeared large and had a grand front to it, but that was it. The rooms inside were awkward, and there was no class. The house, it was amazingly awkward and unclassy for something that looked so good on the front. And I looked at it. For a few hundred thousand dollars, it could be made better. But it could it be made really better? And I walked away from the open house thinking, wow, this is a teardown. The best use for this lot is to tear it down, which is which is what happened. Here's the point. I've told you that a golf course front lot, a teardown in this neighborhood, goes between $600,000 and $800,000. I figured that this house would eventually sell as a teardown in the $850,000 range. That's a little bit above market, but it was low for the impression of the house to sit on it. It actually sold for just over $1 million, which is $200,000 above the top of the market for a golf course front lot in this neighborhood. And as I said, has a good street presence, but it wasn't a really stellar golf course front lot. In fact, it wasn't even a very good golf course front lot. So the first mistake was they probably paid $200,000 to $400,000 too much for the lot. And as I say that, they're on the market right now, three houses, same neighborhood, same golf course, that have as good a road frontage as that house and much better golf course views. And all three of those, the asking price for all three of them is under $1 million. So there's no doubt they could have gotten a better lot for less money. There's another phenomenon to be aware of that I see, you know, it's really true. The premium value that you pay for a lot only exists when it is a vacant lot. The minute you put a house on it, then what the buyer is willing to pay for that lot drops. It's like if it's a blank canvas, they'll pay you a lot of money for it because they can put their dream on it. The minute you put your dream on it, it becomes just a lot comparable to the other lots around it and is valued the same. So that means an $800,000 lot, the minute you put a house on it, probably drops to $500,000. May drop even lower than that when, you know, when the assessor comes, the appraiser comes and, you know, and looks at your house. So it's just, you know, that's the first thing is you have to buy really smart. Okay. Now I'm getting lost. Possible mistake number two is in choosing the contractor first. And this is, you know, this is just a guess since obviously I don't know the terms of the contract between this contract and the owner. I do know that he was chosen first. And it could be a sweetheart of a deal. I doubt it, but it could be. The normal circumstance, under normal circumstances, it's really a mistake to choose the contractor first. And I recorded a whole show a couple months ago about how to select a contractor. The main concept was not hire the contractor up front. Especially in this economy, you can use the power of competitive pricing to get a much better deal. In any market, any city, there are a number of good to outstanding contractors. Go ahead and pick four of them and then ask them to price the job. If they want the project, well, during really good times, if you talk to the four best contractors in the area, they'd say, no, you know, give me the job and I'll do it, but I'm not going to competitively price it. Well, in this market, they will. Or if they aren't, fine. There are lots of really outstanding contractors looking for work right now. And so if they want the project, they will price it. And more to the point, if they want the project, that contractor will go to his subcontractors and he'll push them for a competitive price. If you think about it, if I just hand you, Mr. Contractor, the job, you, Mr. Contractor, have no incentive to squeeze your subs. You'll go to your framing sub or your plumbing sub or your roofing sub and you'll say, in essence, here's a job we can charge full price on. And as opposed to if it's a competitive situation, he goes to his plumbing sub or his roofing sub and he says, roofer, you know, I'm competing for this job. I really would like to get this job. Can you give me your best price? And next time, you know, when it's a non-competitive house, you know, you can go ahead and charge me full price. But on this one, I really need your best price. That's worth a lot of money. The other thing is, if they really want the job, they all have what they want to make in overhead and profit. And it is somewhere between 15 and 22%. Most of the really top contractors want to get 22% for overhead and profit. That's a lot. If you can get them to do 17% instead of 20%, that's a 3% savings right there. So I've used competitive pricing many times, and almost always, in fact, I can't say always, we have ended up with the final price for the construction that is 5 to 10% lower than what you would get if you just simply handed the job to the contractor. At least 5 to 10% lower. And in this case, that's talking about $100,000, $200,000. It's a lot of money. The real point, though, is that you don't beat them down. You just ask them to sharpen their pencil and to give you the best price they can. If you beat them down, then they'll give you a lower price and they'll figure out, you know, how to make the same money on it. If you just ask them to sharpen their pencil, they'll give you the same quality work for a slightly lower price. It's really a strange phenomena that I've seen. It really is strange. But the contractor, if you're giving him 100% of what something's worth, 120% or 95%, he'll do the same job because it's within the range of acceptable price for that job. If you pay him a premium, he really won't do much better, if any. So, you know, why not try for the best price that you can? Here's a caveat. Okay, and sorry, we're on break, so I'll get back to you after the break. Thanks.
Ask the experts. Call toll-free right now, 1-866-472-5787.
Hello?
And ask our all-star team to answer your question. That's 1-866-472-5787.
Thank you for calling.
VoiceAmerica.com.
step up to the microphone. View the finalists right now on VoiceAmericaKids.tv. America's next great star is waiting to be discovered. Step Up to the Microphone is an exclusive presentation for VoiceAmerica.tv, where you can see and hear America's next top child star. The program is hosted by Voice America's own Cassie Frazier, and new episodes will be available every week exclusively at VoiceAmericaKids.tv. You can say you saw them at the beginning of their superstar career. Tune in to VoiceAmericaKids.tv.
Tune into Around the World in a Glass, presented by Sportsman's. We're a show all about wine, spirits, and other beverages. Your host, Kimber Stonehouse, is a professional expert and wine enthusiast. Each week, we'll focus on a different region of the world, discuss wines and other beverages, talk about some of the top restaurants in the region, and what to pair with which wine. Just listening could make you almost an expert. Around the World in a Glass is heard live every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You're tuned into Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipart@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
I went to break quickly. I didn't really manage that well. But just to wrap up the idea of hiring the contractor first. You get much better prices if you competitively price, but there is a caveat. You get your best price on an item when it is negotiated before you sign the contract. So anything you want, get it in there before you sign the contract. And to get the best price, you have to have a full and complete set of plans and specifications. Up front. So, as I say, it is in the price. I know lots of contractors who want those plans and specifications to be very loose and incomplete because that gives them more leeway. And every change order, every addition after you sign the contract, you will pay a premium. So what cost you to move a window before you sign the contract? Cost you nothing after you sign it? $1,000. Anyway, mistake number three on this house, and on many, is to let the contractor select and or hire the home designer. Again, I recorded a whole show on why to use an architect and how to select them. If the contractor selects, and especially if he hires the home designer, that person works for the contractor. He gives to the contractor what the contractor wants, and he looks out for the contractor's interests, not the homeowners, the contractors. Design quality is not high on the contractor's priority list. Production is, timeliness is, and money is. Power is definitely high on the contractor's priority list. Told you. If the home designer works for the contractor, then the power stays with the contractor. And any contractor knows, as does any car salesman, power leads to money. So in any negotiation, knowledge is power. Power is money. The home designer could use his knowledge as an agent for the owner to balance out the contractor's knowledge. But not if he works for the contractor. In this discussion, and it's not universal, but I really see it in my market, in this discussion, the contractor prefers using a home designer because he has much more power and control over a home designer, a residential designer, than he has over a licensed professional architect. A licensed professional architect has a code of ethics and a code of conduct that they have to adhere to. The residential designer doesn't. And the residential designer, one of the reasons why they're so cheap compared to what it seems as though you pay for an architect is because you're getting partial plans and partial specifications. In truth, the architect and the residential designer for the same product cost almost the same thing. They charge almost the same amount per hour, but the residential designer typically provides much less detail and really leaves more opening for the contractor to exercise power. What does this mean? Well, it means it's nebulous, hard to quantify, but it could easily mean a 5 to 10% loss to the owner in net cost. This means that why the residential designer is cheap. It's more than made up for in the opportunity or the loss of power to the owner in the negotiation. And that's significant. You know, it can be several times what you actually pay for the design of the house. Anyway, okay. Here is the real truth. What you pay, it doesn't matter what you pay to build your house. The value is what someone else will pay you for it. If you want someone to pay you $2.5 million for your home, then it has to look and feel like a $2.5 million home. Or preferably, it has to look and feel like a $3 million home. What does that mean? It cannot be awkward and it cannot be mediocre. And awkward and mediocre sells for MI Homes or, you know, one of the big builders on the commodity market for commodity prices. If MI Homes or, you know, sell an awkward and mediocre McMansion, they do all day long for $150 a square foot. You've got a house that you built for $300 a square foot and you want to sell for $300 a square foot. So what that means, it can't be awkward, it can't be mediocre. You can't take a standard McMansion, blow it up to 8,000 square feet, add decoration, and expect it to sell for a premium price. And frankly, this house I was looking at, the $2.5 million example, looked like that. The quality of the work, it looked like a blown up standard McMansion. In any market, $2.5 million has to be a wow. Wow. It has to be a significant design statement that is well above the design statement of that $1.5 million home. Because you can buy a standard 7,000 square feet for $1.5 million. Every day of the week in the same neighborhood. You don't have to pay $2.5 million for it, and you won't. The and in so many ways, this house I was looking at has mediocrity written all over it, when what it needed was excellence. The first part is, I'm pretty sure the house came from a stock plan. The front of the house is well resolved and handsome, but it looks as though it was designed for a lot that was 5 or 10 feet wider than this lot. It's got a, so it's well resolved and handsome, but there's a study on the right hand, the left hand side that juts off at a 45 degree angle, kind of to add interest to it. And the problem is that they cut off the study. It's truncated. I had to look at it a few times to figure out what was happening. It's truncated. And you feel, just feel in your mind, it should be bigger and longer. Then on the other side of the lot, to place this house on there, it kind of folds away to the garages, back at a 45 degree angle. And the effect there is that the house is big. It gives an elongated impression, but that it's tucked behind the house next door. You actually almost feel as though that whole wing of the house is tucked behind. So there's a discord to the front, and especially with this truncated study, that tosses off the balance of the house and tosses it towards the garages. The garages are tucked behind the neighbor. In other words, it doesn't feel as though it was designed for this lot, doesn't fit serenely and comfortably on the lot. And, you know, that's the first impression. When we come back from the break, I'll go inside the house and, you know, tell you the many other ways that this isn't the wow that you spend $2.5 million for. When we come back.
Talk, talk, talk. That's all we do is talk.
Yeah!
If you'd like to talk, call us toll-free right now at 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787.
That's it.
VoiceAmerica.com.
When you talk about the subject of bullying, it's not just the person being bullied who is dealing with complicated issues. It's also parents and teachers. Bullying has even taken a new turn with social networking, negative images, and even reality TV. Tune in to One Word Nation Radio with host Jessica Brookshire. We'll put the issue of bullying front and center, going beyond the classrooms and hallways of our schools to help empower and protect youth and their families. Listen every Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific Time, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Tune in to the Voice America Variety Channel on the Voice America Talk Radio Network. Voice America Variety broadcasts a diverse array of topics, reaching a global community. Our experts come from all walks of life, and the topics they discuss are everything from current events, arts and entertainment, leadership, parenting, relationships, self-improvement, career advice, and a variety of other topics. Check us out today. You're sure to find something of interest. Voice America Variety. Talk on today's hot topics.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain firing really fast.
All the time.
The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
you're tuned in to Winning the Dream Home Race with your host, Steve Klipp. We'd love to hear from you about our program. Call in to 1-866-472-5788. Again, that's 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to clipark@yahoo.com. That's C-L-I-P-P-A-R-C-H at yahoo.com. Now, back to Winning the Dream Home Race.
Hi. You can start with the standard plan, the stock plan, as a starting point, and that's good, especially if it's one that seems compatible with the lot. But what you do is you need someone who knows what they're doing to modify that plan to fit the lot, and also to look at the plan and see whether and to modify it and make it better. I did this exact same thing this past week with someone working with one of the big major builders and significantly improved what was a mediocre plan. A lot of the points I'm making here, I made there, and that was under $1 million. So it's not just the $2.5 million category. Here's the thing. Inside this house, I was really surprised, is inside the foyer and every room in the house has a 10-foot ceiling. 10-foot is, the builders have figured out, 10-foot ceiling is one of the cheapest upgrades you can do. It costs very, very little money and has a big impact. So they are going to 10-foot ceilings. But here, everything was a 10-foot ceiling, which means no room is special, including the foyer. And I could argue the foyer is fine at 10 feet. If you then go from that 10-foot ceiling into higher spaces, there should, in this house, you know, especially in a $2.5 million house, there should be a signature room worthy of highlighting a $2.5 million house. A signature room worthy of $2.5 million. And actually, in this house, there should be two of those. The grand living room and the family room. And I was really quite disturbed to see that in this particular house, neither one of those were given any special treatment. Both of them just had the flat 10-foot ceilings with bedrooms above. It's a cheap, really important thing that was missed on this house. And the foyer. The main staircase, in this case, I'm fine with diminutive foyers and ones. That's not where the high ceiling should be. It should be in the signature room. In this case, the main staircase was embedded in the middle of the home, which is fine. But when you go into the mansions, when you go into the beautiful, gracious old homes where the staircase is embedded in the middle of the home, there's always a source of natural light, whether it's skylights or high windows, that provide light down into that staircase. Otherwise, it is dead, it is uncomfortable, and it has no pop. $2.5 million, you want pop. In this case, the master bedroom was upstairs. That's fine. That's, you know, personal preference. However, if the master bedroom is upstairs, it needs to be in the position of importance at the top of the grand staircase. It has to be, you come up the grand staircase into the master bedroom. This case, weirdly, the master bedroom is shunted off to above the family room, which should have had a raised ceiling and didn't. And the most natural way to access the master bedroom is by a back stair coming up from the kitchen. This is where they used to put the servants' rooms. and that's where the master bedroom is. Further, the master bath is above the garage. Okay, this is a social faux pas. It is, you do not put the master bedroom, if you can help it, above the garage. You don't put the master bath above the garage. Then there are all sorts of small awkwardnesses in the house. There's this huge butler pantry, mudroom, laundry room type space buried in the house that's just left there. It's this big awkward chunk of space, and to serve the dining room from the kitchen, you have to pass through it, but it's also the mudroom and it's also the laundry room. It's like they didn't resolve things. And this is, okay, let's see. Those are some awkwardness. The screen porches. The house has a screen porch with a beautiful stone fireplace, but is enclosed on the fireplace side and on one of the other sides, which means that you could have had a screen porch mostly opening on three sides, and instead it's closed on three sides and just has one wall to the backyard that is open. That's not a screen porch. That's an outdoor room, and it's not a very comfortable one. And then finally, nowhere was the house shifted on the lot to create views. This was a hard lot to actually get views on, which meant you had to work extra hard to achieve them and make them work. And there's no feeling of being on the golf course. There's no opening up to the golf course. So you just even further diminished the premium that you paid for the lot. Now, and I see this all the time. And when I look at, well, I know I'm being very harsh here, but I'm frustrated because I hate seeing money wasted and houses built. Houses last forever. And to do one that isn't good and it lasts forever and loses you money, oh, it's frustrating. This is like, you know, to use a medical simile, this is like having a nurse do Ted Kennedy's brain surgery. When you're spending what's for you a whole lot of money, making your biggest investment, it's like having the nurse do your brain surgery. Strangely enough, and the more expensive the house is, as I said, you can build commodity houses all day long, and they will sell based on the number of rooms, the level of finish, and that's it. But the more expensive you get, the more necessary is good design. I can show you a lot of examples of $2.5 million homes that are mediocre or bad design and resale for 60 cents on the dollar, $1.5 million. I know of three of them that I can walk to from my house. Strangely enough, all three of those were built by contractors for themselves. And I think that even when they're their own, it's like the lawyer shouldn't be his own lawyer, or the lawyer who acts for himself as a fool for a client. Well, it seems like the contractors are the same way, because I can walk to three of them that were $3 million plus houses. The bank has repossessed and have sold for under $1.5 million. And I can also show you houses with excellent design that maximize your site potential, and that even today, even in this market, sell for what they cost to build, and sometimes even at a profit. This is the difference between good design and bad design, and good leadership and bad leadership in this huge investment. But we're about to go, and I have no idea what I'm talking about next Friday. Please, if you have something you want me to talk about, send me an email and to cliparch@yahoo.com. And, you know, we can talk about what interests you. See you next week.
Thanks again for listening to Winning the Dream Home Race. Please join your host, Steve Klipp, again next Thursday at 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Variety Channel. We'll help you come one step closer to building or renovating your dream home.